Some sort of good luck charm there.
What's that?
Was that some sort of good luck charm? How'd you fix it?
Oh, it's kind of, I think it's kind of like, you know, when you call IT and then all of a sudden something works. I was about to switch to another set of headphones and all of a sudden it worked.
Good. I did hear from Sue, Andrea. She was trying to log in, but apparently MediaCom is having some sort of a widespread outage. So I think this is it.
All right, well then let's go ahead and get started with the Des Moines Water Works Planning Committee meeting scheduled for July 5th. And we'll just have folks introduce themselves as we go along.
Sounds good, Andrea. The first item on our agenda is the Northwest 26th Street Booster Station update. And we're gonna hear from a couple of folks today. Mike McKernan is gonna walk us through a little bit of a history of our service to Polk City, who is Polk City is the primary community that's served by this booster station. Mike's going to walk us through a little bit of that history, and then Don Staley is going to present some specific details about the new Polk City booster station, which you see right there on the screen, and it's now in service and ready to go, but we wanted to give an update on that project to the board. So Mike, I'll let you kick us off.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ted. We're going to start and end with the photo here. There's a new facility just north of the Sailorville Water Treatment Plant along Northwest 26th Street, and the brunt of the population thinks it's some sort of residence, and to us and those that know some of the things that are going on here are a little more informed. This is a new booster station that went online. So our path today is really, you know, I'm going to give some background on really a near 20 year relationship with Polk City. Talk about a couple studies along the way and some new facilities that have went online. Again, within the last 4 months, this booster station being a primary example. And the other thing we want to convey is, you know, this station replaces something that was in operation before, and we want to communicate there's some enhanced features and there's some enhanced capacity by a factor of almost 3.5. So those are important things. And then I will lateral fairly quickly to Don to talk about the design of the station, the layout, and some of the details that a lot of the construction photos that really show you this thing really being constructed from the ground up. So that's kind of our flight plan today. Again, the history here is Polk City and Des Moines Water Works started a relationship again almost 20 years ago. Polk City is an entity that was looking for more water and high quality water. So arrangements were made via 28E again almost 20 years ago to get a pipeline in the ground and get a booster station in the ground that would augment and give them flows into their community to support their system. Shortly even after that connection was made, there were also some agreements that involve our distribution department. Our distribution department provides main break services to the city of Polk City via agreement as well. And just some details here. This original booster station pipeline was really set up so that Polk City could take flows as high as 200 gallons per minute initially. And then over time, they could ramp up their access to our flows up to 750. So after almost 20 years, it became evident that it was time to go beyond that. And so that's facilitated some of the recent work. I want to communicate that original booster station is what we call typically a booster station in a can. It's a prefabricated structure, completely equipped with all the electrical, mechanical, and pumping equipment that would make a pumping station. It's all pre-built. It basically gets shipped here and it gets lowered in and gets installed on a base pad below grade. And then again, this thing gets buried. So for 20 years, this thing's been hidden. It's been below ground and we go in and operate and maintain that facility as needed. I'm gonna get a little granular here with the graphic just to show you that there's two pumps here. Really, this was initially designed so that one pump was the responsible party. If there was a problem, the second pump was simply a backup, if you will. And as capacities and demands have increased up in that area, we've got ourselves in a situation where we're really running both pumps at the same time on occasion, which is an uncomfortable place to be from a service providing perspective. But the way it works is when the Polk City Tower, when the water level gets low, there's a communication from the tower that goes two directions. You know, one communication goes back to Des Moines Water Works, and we open a valve in a meter pit, and we let this water flow, you know, into the Polk City water distribution system. The other thing that happens is they send a signal to their own treatment plant to turn on as well. So I want you to understand that Polk City still has treatment capacity or treatment capabilities, and they're continuing to run that facility. And so again, when the tank is low, two things happen. We pump water into their system and they turn their plant on as well. So they've got some blended water within their community. And this is just a general map, shows where that meter pit is relative to Polk City. So south and east of Polk City is this meter pit that we are solidly connected to via 16-inch feeder main. And then the blue line is really the course outline of the Polk City system. There'd be much more detail if we were trying to give a more detailed map, but you can kind of see some of the structure within the Polk City system. The thing you don't see with that existing system is there's no emergency generator. And again, I mentioned we're really eating into the capacity of that second pump in the recent years. So all of that really led to an effort in 2016 where Ankeny, Polk City, and Des Moines Water Works collaborated on a study to talk about potential feeder main enhancements up there to benefit Water Works, Polk City, and Ankeny, along with this concept of potentially a new pump station that would better serve Polk City and even our Polk County customers in the area. So again, very coarsely, 2016, a study to try and look into the future and looking at population projections and some capacity numbers associated with those. And that's really led us to a point where, you know, we put a new facility in operation, again, within the last 4 months, that has a capacity of 2,500 gallons per minute, which is roughly, let's just say three and a half times maybe the original station. We think this capacity is going to really serve Polk City. You know, we have to make some projections here, but based on the projections and the capacity design in the station, we think this will address their concerns out to 2040. The other thing that's happened as the capacities and the demands up in that area have increased, again, it's become more important on the design side to put some more robustness into the overall system. So the new facility's got an emergency generator that will come on during the unfortunate power outages. And even that meter pit that has the key valve that opens up and allows flow from Des Moines into Polk City. Our own water production team has done some enhancements at that site to get backup power at that location. So we've really got, not only do we have more capacity, but we've got more robustness in that capacity with these recent efforts. And the pump station itself was a $1.6 million endeavor, and that was a cost share between Polk City and our, what we'll call our Polk County system that we manage and operate. Again, and I want you to looking at the graphic, you know, we previously had two pumps. Now we've got three pumps that primarily operate to meet the demand most of the time. When we need higher demands to be met, we've got two larger pumps. So that may be the most important thing in regard to robustness. We've got a lot of pumping options here and capacity that makes us far more robust than, you know, the original effort back in 2003. So Don, I'm going to lateral to you for the construction photos and the discussions on the design and layout.
Okay. Can everybody see that? Okay, the Northwest 26th Street Booster Station was a design that was done by our engineering department. I participated in the design, doing the architectural and the structural work on that. The pump station project manager initially was Nathan Casey, and through the progression of the project, Nathan was made our water production director, and so I find myself being the project manager on the project. We engaged a consulting firm to help us with the electrical and mechanical on it, but generally the project was done in-house at the engineering department here. Let's get to the next slide there. We started out with a set of plans, and this gives you an idea of what the elevations looked like when we were putting the project together. The layout of the floor plan is basically three components. We have the pump room, which is, as you can see, kind of in this area right here, we have the two big pumps, and we have the three small pumps toward the back of the facility here. All these pumping stations take a pretty robust electrical facility. And then the garage in the facility is the generator room. When we took off on this project, one of the conditions that the property owner that we bought the property from was is that they didn't want something that was industrial looking. And we have a little bit of history with this over on Hull Avenue near the Nolan facility. Back in the 90s, we had kind of a similar situation. And one of the solutions at that time was that we would make our pumping station look like a house. And so we did that over on Nolan and successfully made the neighbors happy that we were not putting an industrial looking type facility there, but kind of a good residential neighbor. We proposed to do the same thing with this facility. And we pursued the project, making it look like a residential property. This here photograph that you're looking at is images from the steel framing that we used on the project. And you can kind of see from these images here, what we did to make it give it the residential look is to shape the roofs so that they kind of follow a more of a residential pattern with some gables and some hip roofs kind of coming together placed on top of a facility that was really open in the inside that would serve as a pump station. We started out the project back in September of 2020 with just an open site. It was a site that was pretty heavily wooded and it needed quite a bit of grading work to be done with it. It also had quite a steep slope on it and it required quite a bit of dirt fill to be put on it. If you look in the upper left-hand corner there, there's some of the equipment moving on the site. If I look at the lower right-hand corner there, you can kind of see that's the magnitude of how much earth was put on the site to bring it up and make it a little bit more usable. And the other two photographs there kind of show some progression of the grading on the facility there. We started it in fall of 2020, and this was somewhere in the neighborhood of October of 2020. And the site started out with basically stripping it down and digging in the foundations. We used what is called a trench footing type system on there, which has some real advantages, especially during the time of year when we were doing construction on it. But it also is a type of foundation that has a good reputation of really supporting the facilities for the long haul. So what you see here in the upper left-hand corner there is that I'm starting to dig in the foundations. In the upper right-hand corner there, you kind of get a sense of how the reinforcing for the foundation is put together. The lower left-hand corner there, we got the foundations being constructed, the footings, and we're putting in a lot of the plumbing and those sort of things. And in the lower right-hand corner, we started out by putting the floor slabs in right away. The next step that we did through the winter of 2020 is start erecting the facility and building the walls. In the upper left-hand corner there, you can see that we started out by having six columns that came out of the foundation, and this would form more or less the crux of all the framing. The entire framing system, if you look at the lower left-hand corner there, we have three primary trusses that hold up the entire roof system on this facility. And it was kind of a nice little situation that we were able to put together here because it gave us the pitch that gave it the residential look, but it also gave us a very robust structure that we could hook bridge cranes onto to provide a lot of the lifting capacity for handling a lot of the pumps and valves and the things that you need to be moving around inside the facility once it's in operation. If you look in the upper right-hand corner there, this is the structure, the rough structure kind of coming together there. We have our three primary trusses there that I discussed a little bit earlier. The lower left-hand corner, you can see that we're starting to come out of the ground there with the masonry walls. The most of the framing of the walls is done with masonry block, but then we wrapped it with an architectural finish to kind of give it a residential look to it. Again, during constructing it in the wintertime in the lower right-hand corner there, often we had to enclose the facility and heat it up so that we could keep things moving through the winter. As we got into the winter and got our walls up, we started closing in the facility and we started the steel enclosure also in the winter, but now in 2021, and you can kind of see the facility coming together there. In the upper left-hand corner, this is where we started closing in the roof system with its steel decking system. You can still see the trusses that we talked about, but now we have the secondary framing there and the decking that would form the roof structure coming together there. In the upper right-hand corner there, you can kind of see that we started the facility to the south and started building to the north. In the lower left-hand corner there, that's a shot of the facility as we kind of finished up the framing of the steel on the north side. And the interior of the building looked like the lower right-hand corner there when we got her closed in. The next thing that we did is we enclosed the exterior envelope. And again, we did that work in the winter of 2021. You can see in the upper left-hand corner, we covered the kind of industrial steel system with a plywood framing system that would allow us to put more of a residential type roof on the facility there. You get kind of a close-up view of it on the upper right-hand corner there. I jumped up on the staff and got a picture there. And essentially what we do is we have a steel industrial building down low, and then we have kind of a plywood structure that was put on top of it that enabled us to give it kind of a residential look. If you look in the lower left-hand corner there, you can see that the envelope is starting to come together, the roofing system there. We have our water and ice shield that we put over the roof system there. And then in the lower right-hand corner there, you can kind of see it all coming together. And again, this is all in the winter of 2021. We also did the build out of the interior in 2021, the winter. And you can kind of see what the interior of the building looks. It doesn't have a residential look at all. The roof or the ceiling of the facility is a long span steel deck that we use, kind of a galvanized system with a lot of durability kind of an industrial feel to it. If you look at the left-hand image here, you can see that that's a bridge crane that we're starting to put in all our facilities. And what these do is give us a kind of a lifting capacity that goes throughout the facility there. So we don't have to mobilize gantry cranes and ask our employees to do a lot of heavy lifting and that sort of thing. We're putting these bridge cranes in the facility so we can pick up a pump, we can pick up a valve, and we can essentially pick it up from anywhere that it's at in the facility there, lift it up overhead and bring it out to an area where we can take it out of the building for maintenance. We started the exterior finishes in spring of 2021, and you can see some of the imagery here of the finishes coming together on the building. The upper left-hand corner there, you can kind of see the envelope being constructed. We wrapped the building in a extrude polystyrene insulation to get some thermal efficiency in there. And then we furred out the masonry with a galvanized Z framing, which enabled us to put some siding on the facility to, again, to give it a bit of a residential look to it. If you look in the kind of the upper right-hand corner there, I've got a picture of the envelope being wrapped with some of the finishes that we put on the building. We have a steel siding, kind of a durable, really high-end residential, quasi-commercial siding that we used on the facility. We used, if you look at the lower right or lower left-hand corner there, we used a natural stone around the base of the facility there. That's popular in residential construction, but it also gave us kind of an armoring of the building. One thing that I observed going to our remote facilities is oftentimes the mowing crews will scuff up against the building. And with a natural stone, if we get a little scuffing on it, it'll just give it a little more character and hopefully keep our building looking pretty nice, even though from time to time it gets bumped a little bit. The industrial type stuff that we had to deal with were a lot of the louvers and exhaust fans and those sort of things. So how we dealt with a lot of that during construction, you can see in the lower left-hand corner there, is we kind of treated it as if it was like a window, but away from the front of the building. In the lower right-hand corner there, you can see how we gave the building kind of a bit of a residential look to it. Those are commercial windows, but I used a little different coloring system on it to give it a little softer feel to it. We broke up the windows with an interior type grid system that gives it kind of more of a residential look. That's called a Munton system that we put in there. And then we backed up the windows with blinds when we got done. And then we encased the blinds in a sealed case so that it won't get dusty and that sort of thing. So it'll look like a sleepy residential where nothing happens much in there, but there's active pumping going on in the inside. The pump station on the inside, we finished up in the summer of 2021, or we did a lot of progression. We're finishing up the finer points right now. But this gives you an idea of how the pumping station started coming together. In the upper left-hand corner there, you can see a lot of the pump, the piping coming together there. We had our pipe supports and those sort of things all coming together. That was the first step in putting the actual working elements in the pump station there. In the upper right-hand corner, you can see, again, the bridge crane is in full operation there. We used it for construction, and you can see more of the piping kind of coming together for this facility there, essentially wrapped around the outside walls of the facility there. In the lower left-hand corner, you get a feel for how much electrical service is necessary for these pumping stations. There's a lot of controls, and there's a lot of just raw power that's needed. In the lower right-hand corner there, yeah, you get an idea of the service that's needed for feeding this facility. And we have our transformer there, our electrical, and some of our HVAC equipment that's needed to keep the electrical equipment in the climate control. In the center there is our backup generator coming together. This is during construction. It hasn't been kind of completed out in this picture here. In the winter of 2021, we started the startup and commissioning on the project. Somewhere in January is when the facility started looking like this. You can kind of see that in the upper left-hand corner there, we have the two big pumps kind of in the foreground, and we have the three smaller pumps that are located in near the back wall of the facility there. The other photographs are just different images. The upper right-hand corner kind of gives you a perspective of what the facility looks like if you were to walk in the front door and have a look at it. And the lower left-hand corner, you get a perception of what the facility looks like when you come from kind of the generator room in the garage is where I took that shot from. And in the lower right-hand corner, this is what the generator room looks like at this point. The original station, the last step that we did was abandon the original station. And if you have a look at these pictures, these are two pictures that we have of the abandoned station as it was being abandoned. And you can kind of get a feel for how much more accessible this new facility is and how much more agreeable, I guess, it would be to work in. One of the things that we find with the underground facilities there is that they're difficult to access. The safety aspect of entering them is a confined condition. And it's one of those type of things that we're working on moving a lot of our facilities out of the ground so that it's safer to work on, it's easier to work on, and we get a lot more accessibility so that it's easier to do maintenance functions and that sort of thing. But this is gives you an idea what the old pump station looked like. We pulled it out of the ground and we filled in the hole and we ended up with a new facility. And this is in the summer of 2022. Just recently, we kind of finished up all the grading around the site and abandonment work that we needed and got the thing all commissioned so that we're comfortable that the facility was ready to roll and it could work on its own without the old facility as a backup. And so we're doing the finishing on the site right now. The upper left-hand corner, you can kind of see the forming that we put together for doing the driveway and the sidewalks that serve the facility. And in the upper right-hand corner there, the contractor is starting to put the concrete down. We have a little more concrete going in the lower left-hand corner there, and we're finishing out the driveways and sidewalks in the lower right-hand corner there. And this is how the facility looks today. And that is our final slide. We have fooled enough people that it is a residential looking, including one of the guys that was working on the site. He said that he wanted to get out of there because he was afraid the guy that owned the house there was gonna be pretty mad. And we had to explain to him the whole reason that he was there is because it is a pump station. All right.
It's a beautiful looking facility. And I remember hearing about it, you know, a few years ago as the things were getting started on it. A couple questions I have as I was listening. So when we construct and design a station like this, how much cost does it add to if we were to do it in the more like industrial looking way?
It's actually a little bit cheaper to do it this way. And one of the reasons that it is because the materials are geared for the residential market. And so they're a little more cost competitive. So we use really high-end residential materials, but those compared to like commercial materials tend to be a little more competitive. The thing that you can't always put these in, you have to put these in neighborhoods where you're not gonna get the vandalism and that sort of thing. And that's why we're going to be somewhere where we're afraid of vandalism. That's where we use our precast and those sort of things, because they really hold up to vandals pretty well. This would be a little more vulnerable.
Yeah, as I was trying to follow you as you were describing the windows and the mutton, I was thinking, how easy would it be to throw a rock through those windows? And is that a concern, the vandalism and breaking in? Because it does look so much like a house. And if somebody's like, oh, I never see anybody there, I'm just going to go ahead and Right. but that's,
well, we could get a dog. I got a neighbor that has a real mean St. Bernard. Usually they're good.
There you go.
That, he's like Cujo. So if we start having problems, I'll just bring him out here. But it was one of the things that we had to weigh a lot of sure. the pluses and minuses on it. If they did break this window, there's three panes, some right. blinds. We have the muntins in there and right. and that sort of thing. So it had, I found that vandals are pretty lazy. And so once right. they get through the first glass and realize there's more, they might,
yeah.
they might give up. part of the negotiations with the property owners around there and everything was to make sure that it had a real residential feel to it.
Sure. So is this a practice? I mean, I know you mentioned that you have to weigh the where these pump station booster stations are going in residential areas to decide whether or not it's something worth doing, but is this something that we would consider doing in future projects or just this one-off since it was part of the negotiations of the property?
I wouldn't mind doing it, everyone. I got the idea of doing a house originally. I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and that's what a lot of the water works did there is they put them in the pump stations in residential neighborhoods. And one of the nicest houses in my neighborhood was the pump station when I was a kid. And we broke the windows a few times with golf balls. But that's how originally when I did the Nolan we were faced with a lot of cost on taking it underground. And there's quite a bit of concerns that you have with that. And as safety has become a higher priority for the utility, you always want to have two means of egress out of those dangerous underground areas there. And that makes it even more expensive to you have to have more space and that sort of thing. And that makes these type of facilities much more cost effective. And so this guy here, Nathan, as he was doing it, initially he said, oh, this is going to be really expensive. And I don't know how I'm going to explain it. And then it came in well within what we expected for budgets and that sort of thing. And so once we got her out of the ground, the other thing with these type of facilities is, there tend to be more competitive. Henkel Construction bid on this one and won the construction. And they are generally a commercial contractor. And they just decided that they could dabble in the pump stations and that sort of thing. I think if we had had it strictly in a pump station capacity, they'd be up against Story and some of those people that are specialists in that. And probably wouldn't have felt they had to be as competitive on it.
Sure. That's all very interesting. Thank yeah. you. I appreciate the update and seeing some of these final product photos. Anything else to add on the booster station update?
No, not for me. Anybody else have any questions?
Not any other questions, Andrew. I would just emphasize that this has been a great partnership with Polk City, and they are planning to participate in a ribbon cutting ceremony at some point here this summer. We'll certainly make the board aware of that, but they're pleased with the outcome and proud of the facility. They did pay for the facility for the most part. So we're planning a little bit of an event to celebrate completion here once it's 100% done. But it is in service, as you can imagine, with the old one having been taken out. It is in service and serving Polk City as we speak.
So Polk City paid for all of it?
Mike, can you give us a sense?
Yeah, the breakdown was 56%
okay.
for Polk City, and then the remaining 44% is our...
Okay.
The fund that we manage on behalf of that Polk County system that we own.
Okay, that's what I thought. I had in my notes it was a cost share project, but I just wanted to double check. Okay, well, great. Well, if there's no other comments or questions around the booster station update, I'll throw it back to you, Ted, for any other general manager comments.
Just two quick things for me, Andrea. One is that I will share that nitrate concentrations in all of our sources are below 10 parts per million today. That would include the Des Moines and the Raccoon River, the Gallery. I don't know about each individual well at McMullen. There may still be one that's lingering, but both of the rivers have dropped below 10, which is a good thing. And the last thing is just a reminder that we have an event scheduled tomorrow at noontime to roll out the cover crop seeder that we are participating with the City of Des Moines and Polk County, the Department of Ag, and Heartland Co-op to put into service here this fall, planting cover crops in our watershed. And that'll be out at down below Maffitt Reservoir, below the dam there. We're going to have a quick event there to roll that thing out and let everybody see it.
Great. Thank you. Any public comments? I'm not seeing any public on the call, but.
Michelle, I assume there's no one here with you in person.
That is a very safe assumption, yes.
Well, thank you all then for taking your time to share this information with me, and looking forward to sharing it at the board meeting at the end of the month and the ribbon cutting to come. So good work, and we'll talk to you guys all soon.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.